Hello, and welcome to the Assembly Podcast. We pray that the Word of God will encourage you to live your life for Him, and that your life will be forever changed by the power of His Word. Stay tuned now for today's message, and remember, there is always a place for you at the Assembly.
Today, I want to just start out asking you this question. How many of you have ever done something you said you would never do? Anybody? I remember, now this isn't going to be meaningful to very many of you, but I remember there was a day when I said I would never shave my head. Do you remember Mikhail Gorbachev, the Russian president, who had like this great picture of Africa on his forehead? I was always afraid that would be me, and so I would never shave my head, but guess what? I shaved it eventually with some help from nature as well. Addison told me he would never live more than 5 minutes from Walmart. And then he moved to Africa. I went on Facebook and I asked some of you, are there any things that you've said you would never do that you ended up doing? And I didn't bring all 50 comments or whatever it was, but I did bring a few of those with me this morning. Don't worry, I'm not going to mention your name and bust you out, even though people can go to my Facebook page and see who said what. But here's a few of those things that people said they would never do. Number one, I will never own a minivan. I said that too. I will never let my kids sleep in my bed. Some are serious like this. I will never get divorced. I will never get married. I will never get remarried. One person said, I will never marry a gringo. I will never tell my kids this hurts me more than it hurts you. I will never beat my husband. I don't know what that means. I will never go to Walmart again. I will never fly on an airplane. I will never have kids. I will never groan when I get up out of a chair. I will never take senior vitamins. And my preschool teacher, who is like the thinnest person in the world, said this. She commented, she said, the reason my belly is so big is because I have had to eat a lot of the words I've spoken throughout my life. How many can say me too, right? Me too. This morning, we're going to talk about the apostle, or we're going to talk about Peter. And we're going to talk about him mainly because he was the one who, I believe it was in Matthew 26, said these words, Lord, I will, what? Never deny you. Even if everyone forsakes you, I never will. And guess what? Peter did what he said he would never do. And you and I, we just kind of confess, we've had those moments in our life as well. And I just have to be honest with you, sometimes the most painful and the most helpless feeling is to know that you have done what you said you would never do. Can anyone witness with that? Sometimes the most helpless and painful thing, the things that we grieve over the most, is when we do what we said we would never do. But I want to tell you this morning that I am convinced from Scripture that God can use those who are convinced they can never be used by God again. Amen? How many are glad that never with God doesn't really mean anything? That God can use us despite what we've said about ourselves or what others have said about us as well. In John chapter 21, it says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were together. And I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed him in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, there with fish on it, and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore, and it was full of large fish. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." And none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and I'm thankful that you use us despite our failure. Lord, I'm thankful that you come to us and appear to us, even though at times we run from you. And God, I pray that this morning that you would anoint our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And I pray that this morning you'll also anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God and the words of God alone. And anoint us, Lord, to also respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And we'll give you thanks and praise for that. And all the people in the room said amen. So Jesus is alive. That's no doubt. That's no mystery to the disciples. They have already run into Jesus twice. He's already appeared to them. Matter of fact, they have already spoken to him. Thomas has already touched him. They know that Jesus is alive. And if you were to back up a chapter or two into John chapter 20, you're going to find out that Jesus has actually recommissioned his disciples. He's already said to them, "Hey, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you." And so they have actually been recommissioned to go out and preach the gospel and do the things that they had been doing already for the last 3 years. That's what they were supposed to be doing. Jesus said, "Hey, I'm sending you just as the Father sent me." But instead of them going out and responding to the word of God, what these disciples did, especially Peter, what Peter did was instead of responding to the word of God, he responded to the failure in his own life. Instead of going and doing what Jesus said, "I want you to do," Peter just decides that, you know, the days of Jesus using me are gone. And so instead of doing what Jesus said, I think I'll just go fishing instead. Basically, now this is not like Brother Mike calling me on Saturday and say, "Hey, Pastor, let's go fishing." And by the way, if you were to call me just to go fishing, I'll just tell you, I bring about the same kind of luck as Peter had. Nothing. This is not us going out to go fishing for pleasure or for leisure. When Peter said, "I'm going fishing," basically what he was saying was, "I'm going to go back and do what I did before I met Jesus." This was him going back to his pre-call experience with Jesus. And what many of us do, if we're not careful, when we find ourselves doing what we said we would never do, we just, our tendency is to revert back to what we used to do before we met Jesus before. That's exactly what's going on here. Peter is reverting back to his own lifestyle. So I want to ask you or answer this question this morning. What do I do when I find that I've done what I said I would never do? Do you follow that question? What do I do when I find that I've done what I said I would never do? What do I do when I find myself like Peter, who says, "Lord, I'll never deny you," and yet my lifestyle says I'm denying him? When I find myself breaking a commitment to the Lord or to someone I trust, and I said I would never do that, but I find myself, do I give up? Has God given up on me? Does his plan? Here's what I believe Peter struggled with. Peter knew Jesus had a plan. I mean, he heard Jesus say, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Peter knew that Jesus had a plan. He just wasn't sure his plan included him. So what do I do when I've done what I've said I would never do? I want to give you a few things this morning. Knowing that God can use you again one day. Matter of fact, I want to ask you just to get this in our spirit this morning. Would you repeat this prayer or this statement with me this morning? God will use me again. Let's say that again. God will use me again. Let's say that one more time. God will use me again. I believe that's true for every one of us in this room. No matter if we have done what we said we would never do, I believe that God will use you again if you will simply come to Him and say, Lord, here I am, use me. And so what do I do when I've done what I said I would never do? Here's the first thing I would challenge you to do. Number one, never revert back to your old life. Peter said, I'm going out to fish. I'm going to go do what I did before I met Jesus. I'm going to go out and do the things I used to do. This was an embrace of what his old life was for him. For you and I, it may not be going fishing. It may be going into some other activity or some other lifestyle that we used to live. But I want to challenge you, just because you failed in one area of your life does not mean that you have to be a failure in all parts of your life. Don't revert back to who you used to be before you met Christ, because here's A, if you're taking notes this morning, your failure does not have to be final. Amen? In Peter's mind, denying Christ was probably the last straw. He had to believe this was the last straw. I mean, I know Jesus forgave me when he said he was going to go give his life on the cross and die for me. And Peter said, oh, Lord, no, that will never happen to you. And Jesus actually kind of rebuked him a little bit and said, hey, you're a devil. You're speaking this. I mean, that's a pretty strong thing. But they sort of got over that. And of course, you know, Peter walked on water, but then he kind of sank, and the Lord rescued him from that, and they got over that. And then, you know, when Jesus was about to be turned over to be crucified, Peter drew a sword and he cut off Malchus's ear. How many know that he wasn't trying to cut off his ear? Right? He was such a bad swordsman, he missed his head and got his ear, right? No one goes out to cut off someone's ear. But the Lord even covered for him there. He healed Malchus and covered for Peter there. But now that Jesus actually predicted, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows in the morning. Now that Peter has done what Jesus said you're going to do, what he said he would never do, this must be the one thing that God can't forgive me for. You know, it's been said that if you get thrown off a horse, you're supposed to what? Get back on, right? I'll never forget the first time I totaled out a vehicle. I was 12 years old. Long story, but I'll cut it short and just say this. For a 12-year-old, or at least for me, every car I'd ever seen crash in a movie does what? Explodes. So when I wrecked my dad's truck at the age of 12 and he was in the truck with me, I just knew the next thing coming was... So what do? I jump out of the truck. Immediately, you know, we crash. I jump out and run. And my dad kind of gets his bearing, and he thinks I've been thrown out of the truck because I'm nowhere to be found. But when I finally figure out the truck's not going to explode, and I come back to him, you know what my dad does? He makes me try to drive this wrecked truck. He tries to make me park it. Why? Because he didn't want my last experience of driving be a crash. I don't know what kind of crash you've had in your life, but here's what I know. God does not want that to be your final experience. There is life beyond your failure this morning if you let the Lord bring redemption to you. Amen? So your failure doesn't have to be final. And here's something else. Don't revert back to your old life just because you failed. Because, friends, people are following your example even in the midst of failure. Peter's failure was public. I mean, it was predicted by Jesus, and Jesus didn't pull Peter to the side. I mean, he kind of busted Peter out around the dinner table and said, hey, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, nope, not me. Now, these other people, they're not near as spiritual as I am, Lord, but I'm super spiritual. I would never deny you. Now, don't you think if you're one of those other disciples and Peter just said that he's more spiritual than you are, you know, they might deny you, Lord, but I wouldn't. Don't you think that when Peter failed publicly, that they might want to rub it in his face a little bit and said, hey, you said that we would do that, but you would never do that, and you're the one that did that. But even as public as Peter's failure was, when he says, hey, listen, let's forget this thing. Let's go backwards. Let's revert to what we used to do. Did you notice that all the other disciples said this? We'll go with you. Some of you walked in the room today and said, Pastor, you know, my life is in such shambles, and I've failed God so much, and I've failed my family so much, and I've failed those that I work with so much that my testimony is shot and my witness is gone because I've done what I said I would never do. I have no influence on anyone. And friends, I want to tell you that it could be that the moment of your failure is the most promising point of influence of your life. Amen? We've said it 100 times that our lives whisper about God in the good times, but they shout about Him in the hard times. Amen? And you can't afford to revert back to your old ways just because of failure, because people are watching you today. Secondly, today, what do I do when I do what I've said I've never would do? You have to realize that operating outside the help of Jesus is not an option. Verse number 3, I love this. The Bible says that Peter went out to go fishing and he caught what? Nothing. Do you remember what Peter was doing when Jesus called him to be a disciple? He was fishing and what? He caught nothing that day either. Matter of fact, the Bible says they were cleaning their nets. They were giving up on their idea of fishing that day because they were such a failure at it. And here's what I've discovered. When we're going through trouble and doubts and seasons of our life where we've done what we said we'd never do, I've discovered that in those seasons that the enemy will often trick us into fantasizing about our past. Well, you know, before you served God, life was easy. Before you served God, everything went your way. Before you really started committing your ways to the Lord, you didn't have any problems. And sometimes the enemy will lie to us about that, trying to get us to go backwards instead of forwards. And all night long, this has been a really serious reality check for Peter. All night long, he's caught nothing. You know, and Jesus said these words in John chapter 15, verse number 5, that I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. And the problem with the scripture is this, that there's a big period on the end of it. Right? Apart from him, we will do nothing. Period. That's it. And the word that's used there, the word apart, is also the same word that means disconnected. That disconnected from Christ, the significance of your life, the eternal emphasis or the eternal significance of your life, the eternal accomplishments of your life will be absolutely nothing. You'll say, well, Pastor, well, I know people that aren't believers in the Lord and they've done some good things. They've invented some great things. But here's the thing. Nothing eternal happens apart from Him. The only things we can do that are of lasting values, we do as we abide in Christ. That's why King David, when he failed the Lord and failed his family, he prayed this prayer, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. He knew that apart from God's blessing, he had nothing. And I want to challenge you, when you find yourself doing what you said you would never do, listen, don't understand, or do understand this, that operating outside of the blessing of God is not an option. It will lead you nowhere and leave you with nothing. It's exactly what the disciples accomplished without the Lord. Thirdly, this morning, what do I do when I find myself doing what I said I would never do? Third, this morning, realize that Jesus has a plan beyond your failure. The Bible says early in the morning, verse number 14, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus has a plan beyond your failure. I was reading something several months ago about professional athletes, and it was actually kind of true about NFL players and NBA players as well. As you know, both men and women in those sports have a considerable short lifespan in their sport, right? You don't hear a whole lot of 60-year-old NFL players, right? You don't hear a whole lot of 50-year-old NBA players. Matter of fact, when someone reaches 40, they start calling them old when it comes to professional sports. And I don't know what they're talking about because I can still get out of bed just fine. You know, I'm in my 40s, so I don't know. But they were doing this research because they discovered that most players, no matter how much money they made in the NFL, just within a few months of retiring would be bankrupt, no matter how much money they made, because they didn't have a plan after their failure. Right? At some point, their body was going to fail, and they had to change careers. They had to retire, but they didn't have a plan beyond that. Here's what I want you to know this morning. God has a plan beyond your failure. Amen? God has a plan for you. Look, I want to go back and read this scripture to you. In Luke chapter 22, verse number 31, this is before the crucifixion, before Jesus as Jesus was telling Peter, someday you're going to deny me. Here's the text, verse number 31, Luke 22. Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. I want to ask you to notice something about that scripture. Here's the first thing I want you to know. See, sometimes when you grow up reading the Bible in a certain version, and so anytime when you read a scripture, you just kind of repeat it in the version that you grew up. You know, I grew up in a church where King James was the only thing you taught in children's church, big church, whatever it was. So most of my, if I'm just going to quote a scripture to you, most of the time I'm going to quote it King James, even though, there's plenty of other good versions out there. But, and this verse is one of those that I will often quote out of King James. And King James version says it like this: Peter, the Lord has asked to sift you like wheat. But just about every other version of that scripture and any other text says this: Peter, the Lord has asked to sift each of you. Wow. In other words, the enemy has a plan to sift each of us, to destroy each of us. Well, that makes sense in context of the Word of God, right? We know that Satan is our enemy. He goes about looking for who he may devour. That makes sense, that he wasn't just after Peter, he was after each of us. But the second thing I want to point out to your attention about this scripture is this, that God had a plan for Peter after his failure. He said, but when you have turned back, go and strengthen your brothers. Listen, if Satan was going to attack each of them, and Jesus had a plan not just for Peter, but for all of them, Jesus has a plan for you as well, after your failure. Did you know that the grace of Jesus Christ doesn't just cover your past sins, it covers your current sin as well? Amen? Romans chapter 5, verse number 8 says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this way, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I know sometimes that rubs us the wrong way. Well, Pastor, I just don't understand how God can. I know that he forgave my past sins because I asked him, but the one I'm struggling with right now, you mean God, he's forgiven that one too? Well, let me just ask you to look at it this way. Your past sins were actually future sins when Jesus was on the cross. Right? So what does that mean? That means that God's got grace for your sins today. He's got grace for what you're dealing with today. He can cover what you're dealing with today. And just as God had a plan beyond your past sins, God has a plan beyond what you're struggling with today. I told the men at the prayer meeting this morning that God often uses imperfect people. And here's why. That's the only kind that exists. Right? There was only one perfect person, and you and I are not him. His name is Jesus. But yet, that perfect person set up this whole thing to be used, to use imperfect people like you and like me. So Jesus has a plan beyond your future. Fourth, I want you to know that Jesus can make you fruitful again. What do I do when I find out that I've done what I said I'd never do? You got to understand that God can make you fruitful again. Those disciples are out there with Jesus, and all night long they catch nothing, but Jesus calls out to them and he says, throw your net on the right side of the boat. And they say, okay. And they reach down and they bring up this huge catch of fish. And I look at Peter and I think, Peter, you are just like me. You are so hard-headed. Right? I mean, he didn't recognize Jesus on the shore. He didn't recognize Jesus' voice. He didn't even recognize Jesus when Jesus did the same miracle in front of him that he did upon the calling. I'm like, Peter, how dense can you be, man? That you didn't get any of this clue? It wasn't until John said, it's the Lord. And all of a sudden, Peter gets so excited that he jumps out of a perfectly good boat. And this scripture, it says they're not very far from the bank. But when was the last time you swam 100 yards? Right? If we're 100 yards from the bank, I'll soon wait for the boat. What caused him to jump out of a perfectly good boat and swim for the shore? I'm convinced what caused him to get so excited was he realized God's using me again. God has taken my life that was fruitless all night long, and he's making me fruitful again. And friends, God can do that in your life as well. Amen? Jesus, upon the calling of Peter, said, listen, I just enabled you to catch fish, but now I'm going to enable you to catch men. And the same way Peter realized, the God who just filled this net up with 153 fish is the same God who can now use me again. Listen, most of the men in the Bible were not perfect, but God used them anyway. I talked a few minutes ago about David. We could talk about Moses, who had a temper problem. We could talk about Abraham, who we call the father of faith, who was actually known to bend the truth a little bit. Right? Robbie did a great job Wednesday night talking about Jonah. And when Jonah did the exact opposite of what God told him to do, the first things out of the mouth of God when Jonah finally confessed and repented was, go do again what I told you to do in the first place. And here's my closing point this morning, that God can and Jesus will reaffirm your call. He can make you fruitful again, and he is calling you again. Megan, if you want to come. In verse number 15 through 17, Jesus speaks to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? And we could preach a whole other message on this passage right here, but I just want to bring out this one point, that Jesus is reaffirming Peter's love for him, but he's also reaffirming his plan for Peter. For every time Peter denied Jesus, Jesus reissues the statement of saying, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He's basically telling Peter, shepherd my people, nurture my people, take care of. For every failure, God reaffirms his plan. That's why Romans chapter 11 says, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And today, God is wanting to reaffirm his call on some of you today. I have a personal friend of mine who failed in what you and I would call a big way. I'll just leave it at that. He failed in what you and I would call a big way. He failed in what you and I would also call a public way. And after going through a lot of stuff and restoration and repentance and all this stuff, he made this statement that he found somewhere else. He said, you know, a bird that's been broken, that's had a broken wing and healed again, it may never fly quite as high as it once did, but the song it sings is sweet. Amen? Peter failed God in a major way. I mean, he did what you and I have done. He did what he said he would never do. And yet Jesus sought him out. One thing I didn't mention, but I'll mention it real quick. John said, they looked up that morning and Jesus was standing on the shore. What the Bible doesn't say, but what we don't know, is we don't know how long Jesus had been standing on that shore. It could be that Jesus has been standing on that shore all night long just wondering, when are they going to stop trying to do this themselves and ask me for help and let me do it? We don't know if he'd been there for hours or for moments. We just know the moment that he spoke to them that they responded. And I believe this morning God is speaking to some of you. And the question is, are you and I going to respond today? That's it. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's the challenge of today. I'm not going to ask you, have you done what you said you would never do? Because that question you answered at the beginning of service, and it's just, you know, the Bible says none of us are righteous, not one single one. We've all done what we said we'd never do. We've all been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. But the question I am going to ask is this. Have you assumed that a failure has disqualified you or is keeping you from God using you again? And if that is you, I want to tell you that Jesus is standing on the shore of your guilt and the shore of your despair and the shore of your shame, saying, listen, I can make you fruitful again. I am calling you again. I am speaking to you again, letting you know that I can use you again one day. And that can start today.
Thank you for listening to the Assembly Podcast. We hope you were strengthened by the Word of God today. The Assembly is growing and our ministries are doing big things for Jesus. If you are in the Cabot area, come by and check us out on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit our website at theassemblycabot.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.